You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, we have 95BFM News Director Ximena Smith talking to National MP Jamie Lee Ross about abortion law reform and the prospect of tax cuts.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you doing?
Hi, Ximena. Great. Good to be with you.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you finished up with Amanda last week, and I'm just helping Tess transition into her new spot as the Friday Wire host, so she'll be ready to talk to you next week. But for now, you're stuck with me. First up today, let's talk about abortion laws in New Zealand. So under the current law, a woman can have an abortion only after two doctors agree that continuing the pregnancy would seriously harm her health. But the Prime Minister says he won't get behind any relaxation of these laws, even though there's support from across the political spectrum to do so. Why is this not a priority for the national government?
Well, firstly, let me start by saying I'm probably in a different space to the Prime Minister on this. It's a conscience vote issue, and MPs tend to come at it with their own personal view on it. When John Key was Prime Minister, I found myself agreeing with most of his positions on conscience votes. Bill was a bit more conservative than I am, and then John Key is, on conscience vote issues. So I have to say, on the question of abortion laws, I can see merit in if there was a members' bill in the ballot that would look to modernise the laws, I'd probably be open-minded to supporting them. Back in the 70s, when the changes took place, it was, I guess you could say, an elegant solution to deal with an issue that needed to be tackled then, and they found a way through. But in a modern-day society, where a woman who quite rightly chooses what to do with her own body has to have two doctors certifying that having the baby would lead to serious mental health issues for that woman, I think that's not realistic anymore, and we should be looking where there's a possibility to modernise them. Now, when the Prime Minister says it's not a priority, he is right. There's a lot we need to do, and this isn't the biggest priority for the government, because there is still the option for women to have an abortion where she chooses to. If there was a members' bill, though, that came through, I think there would be a number of national MPs and MPs across the party that would consider it. Wouldn't be the overwhelming majority, but I think that it would be interesting to see how the Parliament votes. I'd be one of those that would consider the opportunities there. But there's heaps of things we need to do as a government. So when he says there are other priorities, ensuring wider health issues are dealt with, ensuring that law and order issues are dealt with, ensuring that people have jobs. Those are still bigger priorities for the government, and he's right in that respect.
But I mean, you say that if a woman wants to have an abortion, then she can, but there are so many barriers to that happening. I mean, last year, 252 women were told their abortions were not justified. I mean, doesn't this kind of seem sort of outdated, and in that respect, that's why it needs to be a priority for the government?
From a personal perspective, I say yes. The practice in the country, in our country, doesn't match what the law says. I think the law should at some point be modernised. I'm also personally of the view that abortion shouldn't be a Crimes Act exemption. There should probably be health focus put on this issue more so, because it's, in my view, a health issue for a woman. And I'm pro-choice. I believe it's a woman's right to choose what to do with her own body and what she does with her own life. And I personally don't believe a woman should have to have two medical experts certify that she would have mental health issues. But does that mean that people across the board are unable to get access to abortions? And I think the answer to that is no. So it's not the biggest priority for the government. But if a members' bill or a conscience vote question was put before the parliament, I think a number in the parliament would consider it. That doesn't mean that the government doesn't care about health issues. It most certainly does. We're delivering more health services to New Zealanders. And there are fewer teen mothers in the country. There are fewer people that are benefit dependent. There are fewer kids growing up in benefit dependent homes, and these are positive things. If the question of whether we could modernise abortion laws were put before the parliament, I would consider modernising them in my own personal vote. And the Prime Minister has a conscience vote on this issue, just as every other MP does as well.
Mm. I mean, you're not alone in that, Jamie Lee, from the National Party. I understand that there are a number of other National Party MPs who are on board with this, with it being a pro-choice, having a pro-choice position. But why is no one sort of stepping up and making this, putting it into the ballot and making this, you know, if all these people are on board with making it, with advocating a pro-choice change to the law, why is nobody stepping up and making that happen?
I think it's worthwhile considering also, Shamina, the history of the way in which we modernise and evolve as a country on these types of issues that are deemed conscience vote issues. They're typically done by members' bills. Governments don't tend to lead the way on these issues because governments are led by one individual who's the Prime Minister and a series of ministers, and they'll have their personal views that they bring to the table, but they're not typically government bills that tend to lead these changes. So, for example, civil unions, same-sex marriage, homosexual law reform, they weren't done by way of government bills. They were done by way of members' bills. And someone, at some point, I suspect, will be writing a members' bill and will be putting it into the ballot. And given that there's been a lot of media interest in this, given that the Abortion Supervisory Committee has raised the question too, I wouldn't be surprised if a Member of Parliament put a bill in the ballot that sought to modernise this. In fact, I think last year, last election, the Green Party went to the election with this as a policy. And whilst on many, many issues I disagree with the Green Party, they do tend to come up with these ideas in a members' bill and they may end up doing it. Or, you know, Larissa Wall put forward same-sex marriage. They tend to come from members' bills, and I think you want governments to stay out of these types of issues.
Okay, so we kind of have to wait for it to become a members' bill for action on this, you're saying?
Well, we also need to wait until there's a parliamentary majority, and I honestly couldn't tell you whether there's a parliamentary majority sitting there to modernise the law around abortion. All I can say is, from a personal perspective, I'm in the position where I would strongly consider voting for a bill at first reading so abortion laws can be modernised and the law can be in more in line with the practice.
And so Winston Peters has said that a binding referendum should decide whether or not abortion laws should be changed.
No.
Would this be something, so that's something that you're definitely not behind?
No. Questions like this around the rights of individuals, in my view, they are not referendum issues because minority rights are important. And, you know, I think I said this to a number of people when we were having the debate around same-sex marriage. You know, rights for individuals are not referendum types of issues. If we had a referendum on same-sex marriage, it wouldn't have got through. If we had a referendum on homosexual law reform when the country did it, it might not have got through. That's a crafty way for Mr. Peters to try and mobilise his supporters who think that the country should be voting on this. If the country voted on it, I'm not sure where it would go, but I think you need to have more scrutiny and you need to have high-quality decision-making made when it comes to quite tricky questions like this, questions around the rights of individuals. And I don't think we should subject something like this to a referendum. Mm-hmm. If someone sort of petition under the citizens initiated referendum law we have, you could have a referendum, but I think the parliament and a select committee should sit down properly and consider the question if it was to come up by way of a members bill.
Right, so possibly too risky to go ahead with something like that.
Not risky, it's just look, it's my own view and Winston will have a different view, but I don't think rights, issues around the rights for individuals, and in this case it's a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body, I don't think that's something you should subject to a referendum. You need cool, calm and collected thought to put into law changes like this, not an up or down yes or no in a ballot.
And so moving on to our next topic, the Prime Minister said earlier in the week that tax cuts were on the table in the upcoming budget. Could you give me any more detail about this?
No, I'm not the Prime Minister or the Minister of Finance, and I don't write the budget. But ultimately, we have a better set of government books than we did when we came into office. We were posting big deficits through the global financial crisis, and times were tough. We're now posting surpluses. The surpluses are projected to get bigger. That gives us more options. And the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance have outlined that we have priorities around providing better public services for New Zealanders, providing greater infrastructure, ensuring that we're paying down debt in the long term and reducing debt as a proportion of GDP. But when you have those options, you can also consider the option for tax changes. And Dom Key signalled that he was looking at it. Bill English and Stephen Joyce have signalled they're looking at it as well. Tax cuts are an option in the future. There are many other priorities as well, but we should consider where the tax burden lies and how we ensure that New Zealanders are doing well out of our tax arrangements as well. Last year, for example, we made a decision to increase the payment rates to those that are on a benefit for the first time in 40 years. We were able to do that because we had options available to us because we're posting surpluses. We'll have more options in the future and we'll be able to consider tax arrangements as well as other things like public services and infrastructure.
And so the cuts have been critiqued for, or the potential cuts have been critiqued for possibly disproportionately benefiting the rich. Would this be the case if these changes went ahead?
Well, you can't critique a series of potential cuts that haven't even been announced or structured or anything.
But I'm saying, is there with these possible changes, is there benefits in there for the people on lower and middle income brackets, or it's mostly focused on people who earn more?
Well, if you look at last year when we increased benefit payment rates, that helped people right at the lower end. We're providing more public services, better public services. The health and education system are performing more. And those are targeted to people most in need. And to be honest, much of the new education spending goes to those at the lower end of the spectrum that need help. Most of the health spending that's on new initiatives goes to those at the lower end that need help. We should consider tax arrangements in the future when we have more options. It needs to be done in a fair way. But what you consider fair and what I consider fair and what Joe Bloggs sitting next to me considers fair, we all have a different view on fair. We have to come up with arrangements with a budget that tries to provide services and provides options that benefits all New Zealanders. We're never going to please everybody with what we come up with, but we do our best to provide the best set of services to New Zealanders that we can, and tax options are something that's going to be considered in the future as well.
But can we really afford to make tax cuts, though? For example, I mean, we have 41,000 people who are homeless in New Zealand currently. Could this money not be reinvested into social services?
Doing one thing doesn't mean you can't do the other. We have been pouring literally hundreds of millions of dollars more into housing support over the past few years, and we'll continue to do that. We spend $2 billion a year supporting those when it comes to social housing, emergency housing and accommodation supplements. That's not going to change. I suspect future budgets will see more funding for education, more funding for health, more funding for housing, more funding for social services, and there may be the option, depending on how well the economy is doing, to consider tax arrangements as well. Doing one thing doesn't mean you can't do the other, and we can have a look at what the options are to spend money in a way that benefits many New Zealanders.
Great. Well, thank you for speaking with us this week, Jamie Lee. We'll be back with you next week.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.